Blog Talk Radio.
The Four Persons Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. You are listening to The Four Persons Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your enthusiastic and faithful Catholic apostolate. For more information about what we do, go to our show page at thefourpersons.com and our blog site at thefourpersons.net. To call in tonight with your comment or question, dial 515-602-9655. The number, again, is 515-602-9655. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. I was raised here in this living hell. You don't know my kind in your world. Very soon, the time. You telling me the
Thursday night and taking it to the streets with Terry Delp. They do something a little bit different tonight in the way that we start this show, because I'm going to start off with a little bit of a rant, because I feel like I got to say this. You know, we look at the history of the church. We look at our nation's history. We look at world history. And we see some extraordinary people. In my lifetime, I've seen a few. John Paul II was an extraordinary human being. Mother Teresa, an extraordinary human being. Ronald Reagan was an extraordinary human being. But I've also seen extraordinary people in my life that you wouldn't recognize the names of. Because in my view, there are two kinds of extraordinary people. There are people who do extraordinary things under normal circumstances. And then there are people who do normal things under extraordinarily difficult circumstances. And I've known quite a few of those. I've known quite a few people in my life where just surviving is a heroic act when you look at what they have been through and what they have been up against. And some of these people thrive, and you look at them and say, how are you even standing, thriving? Well, I tell you how they're doing it: by grace, by God's supernatural grace. They're not doing it under their own strength. I will guarantee you that. The reason why I wanted to open with this little monologue is because I hear the question often repeated: why does God allow the innocent to suffer? Why does God allow suffering into the world? God is not the author of evil, but sometimes God will permit evil to happen. And I believe one of the reasons why, and our church believes one of the reasons why, is to see what it brings out in the character of people. We all imagine ourselves as becoming saints. We all imagine ourselves as becoming heroic people. But we want to become heroes of our own drama, heroes of our own movie that we create in our own image. Sometimes God doesn't have it drawn up that way. Sometimes the heroism that we're called upon is in the spur of the moment, when it's something that conflicts with the plans that we've made, when it's the last thing that we want to do. Getting up in the middle of the night to go out in a driving rainstorm because somebody that you love, their car is broken down. Caring for a sick child in the middle of the night, not getting any sleep when you know you have to go to work the next day. These are the kinds of heroic acts. Planned for. We don't necessarily expect. And we confront them as they come. And that is the measure of what we are. It is the measure of that heroism within us. And the reason that I wanted to bring this up is because Terry Delp is a person who travels all over the country. His job requires him to travel all over the country. And he traveled into a place where, unfortunately, there was an approaching hurricane. And I remember this happened to me in 1989. My wife went into labor when Hurricane Hugo was moving up the East Coast, a Category 4 hurricane. And I remember spending that night walking back and forth between the birthing room and the waiting room where the Weather Channel was on, thinking that at the moment that she gave birth to this child, we were going to die in a Category 4 hurricane. Sometimes life just deals you a hand like that. Well, Terry was dealt a hand like that. He had to travel to this area where there's an approaching storm. And prudence would have dictated that he evacuate, but he didn't. He decided to stay behind because he thought there might be some people in need. And I want you all to reflect on this. I want you all to reflect on our chances to show who we are and what we are as Christians, not always, but not often, going to be situations that we can plan out as script. It's going to be taking life as it comes to us and reacting to it. And with that, Terry, how you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good, brother. Pretty good. I wanted to start off because, you know, a lot, most of the folks that listen in, they know, you know, Terry, the person who loves Jesus Christ, you know, Terry, the faithful Catholic. Very few know me from 20 years ago. I was a hardened criminal, a convict, you know. And like you said, chances happen, which is what had me thinking while the storm was on its way, was I was at a motel and I was told that this project was going to be like 90 days. And I'm diabetic. I like to cook my own food, right? And a hotel didn't have I barely had room in that hotel room to do push-ups, you know? So I called my boss, and they told me I could rent a house or an apartment through Airbnb. So I found a nice little spot through Airbnb, and I went on there and you know, had my credit card and everything, and Airbnb said I couldn't participate on the platform because I have a felony conviction. Now, remember, my felony conviction is like 1991. I go to military bases all over the United States. You know, one of our most prominent client is the Air Force. And so I didn't think much of it then. I was just like, wow, that's crazy. And so I went through another platform, VRBO, and I got this little spot. And I got situated, and I seen that there was a storm coming. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just leave my stuff here, and I can just drive up to, like, Chattanooga, Tennessee or something and get a motel for the night while the storm hits. But then I realized, talking to the lady that owns this place, everybody up and down the street are elderly folk. There's two people on the street that are actually handicapped. And so my wife, of course, was telling me to leave and get out of there. And but then I started thinking about it. I was like, man, there was some weird circumstances that landed me here. And and now I realize that, you know, there's people that aren't going to be able to help themselves. I'm not a young guy no more. I'm 50, but I'm young in comparison to these the people that live up and down the street. And the day before the storm hit, it hit yesterday. So the day before yesterday, I went to Mass. And I prayed about it. And by the time I got out of Mass, I was convinced God put me here. I came back from church. I walked up and down the street, gave everybody my business card, and told them, hey, look, if things get hectic and you need help, give me a call, you know. And I wanted to come on tonight because to show the change when you submit your will to God, when you begin to love and adore Jesus Christ, it ain't just your actions that change. You actually become a different person. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I was a little scared. I didn't want to say, there's a storm coming. I have the means and the ability to just leave and come back after the storm's over with. But I decided to stay amidst the danger that could possibly happen to me.
And let's be clear. I want to be very clear about what we need to understand here. Now, obviously, the storm, the danger did not materialize to the maximum level that it could have.
Right.
Because you're here on the show.
Right.
Let's be honest about what we're talking about here in the Category 4 hurricane. And I know because we lived through it. And when this first happened to us in 1989, it looked like Hurricane Hugo was going to make a direct hit on us. And it ended up, thank God, tracking westward and missing us, or substantially missing us. But a direct hit from a Category 4 hurricane, you're talking about sustained winds of 125, 135 miles an hour. You're talking about storm surge of 10 feet, 15 feet of water. You're talking about no survivability. You get hit directly with something like that, it's over. You're not going to survive. There is no evacuation. There is no survival. There is no way for rescue personnel to get to you. A whole range of scenarios down from that, down to, anything that all the way down to, just a little bit of rain and a little bit of limbs down. But you could run the gamut all the way up and down that situation. And yet you decided that the reward was greater than risk. The reward was greater than the risk. And so let's just say that this storm had made, because the impact that it had on you, it sounds like it was on the very lower end of the possibility. But let's just say
by the time it got to me, it was a Category 1.
Okay.
It was still scary, but
Category 1 hurricane is no joke. We're talking about 75 mile-an-hour winds. We're talking Hurricane Agnes hit Northern Virginia in 1972. It was a Category 1. Did horrendous damage. The entire city of Occoquan, Virginia was underwater. So a Category 1 hurricane was no joke. But you could have fled to Tennessee, or let's say the storm made landfall a little bit worse as a Category 2. Massive flooding, people trapped in their homes, elderly people. Those people had no advocates. Those people had no help. So
when I go to church, that's one of my prayers. Every time after I receive the most blessed sacrament, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. My prayer is, I say, Lord, allow your light to shine through me onto everybody that I meet, And so that was one of the things influencing my decision, right, was like, we've got to be Jesus to everyone that we're around. Jesus, Jesus was scared at the garden when he prayed. There, he was so fearful that the sweat became like drops of blood. You know, he was scared, but he didn't say, you know what, Father, let's figure out another way to do this. I don't want to do it like that. You know, now he willingly went to the cross, right? And if we are going to be like Jesus to everyone we meet, of course that means, you know, doing our best to put on a positive attitude and make people smile and sharing the word with them in that softball manner that, you know, I like to do everywhere I'm at. But sometimes that means facing danger for them. You know, sometimes that means showing them what it really means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. And sometimes that means facing danger. I forget the name of the 14-year-old kid who, during the Mexican Revolution, he made the saying,
Miguel Pro.
Viva Cristo Rey. He made
Miguel,
that saying famous.
Miguel Pro.
Yeah, him. You know, sometimes you've got to face the firing squad and just shout, you know, long live Christ the King, you know. And so that's what influenced my decision. That and I forget who says it, but it's been a slogan that's been on my mind for a while now, and that is good men do good things. You know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of what influenced my decision. Yeah, I was scared during the hurricane. I'm not gonna, you know, try to front. I was man, some limbs hit the back door, and it sounded. I mean, yeah, I was scared, man. But I was here to help. And I prayed, and the worst part of the storm should have hit us. But actually, the worst part went north. And when I say went north, I'm talking like 4 or 5 miles north. I don't mean like it went to, you know, another state or nothing. No, it went a little north of us. And, you know, so everybody was okay. I went out after the storm and asked to make sure everybody was all right. I went down to the church this morning to see if any trees had fell. I had the contractor had promised me that if I needed any help, he would send heavy equipment over here to help clear stuff out. But for the most part, the bad part of it did miss us. But, yeah, I went into it knowing that it could get bad, and I went into it knowing it could get bad because – even people who aren't Christian, you know, even people who are still living in habitual sin, these are still God's creation. God still loves them.
And folks, Terry just brought up a good point. We have two callers that we'll bring on in just a minute, but you brought up a good point. Make sure you're right with God. Jesus said, you know not when, what hour the master comes, and a lot of people planning to reach out for God in the 11th hour died at 10:30. And, you know, this is the kind of situation that can spring up in your life that if you're not vigilant, you can be in a bad way real quick. Terry, we got 281 area code. I'm pretty sure that's Mrs. Delp. And we got 832 area code. Which one do you want me to bring on?
I'm pretty sure they're both just listening in, but if either one of them want to speak, it's fine.
Well, let's just check real quick. 832, how you doing? Eric, code 832, or do you have anything to say, or are you just listening?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, is this area code 832?
Yeah, that's you, bro.
Yes, sir. I was just calling to listen in. I just jumped in, so I don't know what's going on.
Okay, well, we're just talking about the after effects of Hurricane Idalia. But I'll go ahead and put you back on mute if you just want to listen, and we thank you for tuning in.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Yeah, so my thing is that, like, every human being is a creation of God, you're right? And God loves them, you know what I'm saying? God wants them to come to him. And, you know, I'd hate to see somebody, you know, die because, you know, they're not physically capable of getting out of a bad situation. And if in my helping them physically, I'm able to share with them, you know, the redemption power of Jesus Christ, well, then that's all the more the better, you know, because that was the whole reason that that I stayed behind, is because, I want to help them physically, but more importantly, I want that opportunity to be able to help to save their souls, you know?
Yeah, I understand. So you're going to be in Georgia for some time now?
Yeah, I'm probably going to be here till either the last week of October or the first week of November.
Mm-hmm. What part of Georgia are you in?
Waycross, Georgia. It's about an hour from Jacksonville, Florida.
Terry, you travel all over the country. Is there any areas that really stick out in your mind, really notable areas that the people have really impacted you?
Well, you know, again, this goes back to the change that has happened inside of me, and that is that now – everywhere I go, I make friends. Everywhere I go, it don't matter. There's a few exceptions. In Chicago, I had a hard time making friends in Chicago. But other than Chicago, everywhere I've been, I make friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. What was it about Chicago that made it difficult?
I only went to the hotel and to the job site. I didn't go nowhere else.
Okay.
We was in a really bad spot in Chicago. And, I just didn't want to take the risk of being out when the sun goes down. So mm-hmm. I'd go to the job site, get done with the job, and go back to the motel. And I did, you know, of course, in the motel and stuff, and at some of the restaurants, I'm always able to, tell people about Jesus and kind of give a little bit of my testimony. But I wasn't going out onto the town trying to meet people, you know.
Right. But see, Terry, Jesus is not a part of your life. Jesus is your whole life. I mean, and you just... I can see that you're different than a lot of people. You know, some people have the Jesus compartment over here, and then they have the job compartment over here, and then the entertainment compartment over here. And Jesus has his own time and place. You know, I've heard people say that, but I don't buy that, and I know you don't either. The time and place for Jesus is every time and every place. And you kind of start with Jesus as your core and build everything around that. I could see you build everything from the inside out, not from the outside in, right?
Well, yeah, and that's what this show is about, taking it to the streets. And that don't just mean, like, you know, I'm not a street preacher or nothing like that. But what I mean is everywhere you go, everybody should know. If, in other words, like if somebody was to say, "Hey, you know that guy Terry," I don't want them to say, you know, you talking about the guy who's about 5'8", about 213, he's got a tattoo on his arm. I want the first thing to come out of their mouth would be like, oh, yeah, you mean that Christian guy. Oh, you talking about that Catholic guy that's always praying the rosary. Yeah, I know him, you know what I'm saying? I want everybody to know who I am because Jesus Christ completely revamped my life, like, and so he is who I am. I don't know if that conveys well, at least when it was in my head it did, but Jesus Christ is who I am. You know what I'm saying?
It's more than a rhetorical thing. I know a lot of people say, you know, Jesus is the way and the truth and life, and he's my own. It's a rhetorical thing. But it's not real to a lot of people. But when it says Jesus came in and he transformed me and the old person, I died to the old person and the new person and all that, they say all that. But Terry, I can hear in your testimony, if you walked up to that person that you were 20 years ago, you walked up to that person, met him on the street, you wouldn't recognize him. That person don't exist anymore. I know it must be hard for you to even imagine, because I know I deal with the same thing. I've gone through trials and turmoils in my life and changes in my life, and I, you know. You know, I've got family problems and everything like that. And my family don't, you know, like my younger brother, I give you a perfect example. My younger brother, he's all hung up about stuff that happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And I try to explain to him, okay, we're not talking the same language. You're the same person you were 40 years ago. I'm not. I'm not that person anymore. That person doesn't exist in my mind. And it's real. It's a real thing. People need to understand this. It's a real change. You participate in the divine life of Christ. You participate in the grace of Christ. The old person dies. It's not a changing of roles like actors changing one role to another. No, it's a different person. You've become a person today that you were incapable of becoming 20 years ago. Because if you try to become that person by your own effort, you'll fail every time. And yet, with God's grace, the idea that you would become the Terry Depp would become the Terry Depp of 20 years ago is as unthinkable as you turn it into a Martian, right?
Right, right. Well, the thing is, for one thing, Jesus said in his own words, he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. So anybody who tries, like you were saying, compartmentalize their Christianity, they need to think on that scripture, like they need to meditate on that scripture a lot, you know. But for me, it's in whatever I'm doing, you know, like if I'm at a party and we're barbecuing and talking politics or whatever, having a few beers, I'm still talking about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If we're in a pool having fun, I'm still going to find a way to pull the conversation back mm-hmm. to Jesus Christ. Now, with some people, you know, it don't work. I still do it, and mm-hmm. they'll shut it down, and then, you know, we'll chit-chat a little bit more, have a couple more beers, and then I'll do it again, you know.
Right.
I'm dropping seeds, like I said, in the last show, because You drop a seed, somebody else waters, somebody else harvests. You know, you don't never get to see
It's the same thing with my family, Terry, and they're constantly giving me this. Well, you know, you need to accept our point of view. You need to accept us where we are. No, I do not. I do not need to accept it. Okay? I loved you too much to accept where you're at. Okay? Because I know where you're at leads to destruction. I can't accept that. All right? I would rather you be angry at me. I would rather you be disgruntled at me rather than me tell you that I accept where you're at. You know why I don't accept where you're at? Because I know you're capable of better. I know you're capable of better than where you're at. And, you know, people ask me what the biggest mistake I made in the past in my walk with God was. I said, well, biggest mistake I made was that Jesus Christ was the most important thing in my life. They said, wait a minute. You said Jesus Christ was the most important thing in your life, and that was a mistake? Yes, that was a mistake. Because Jesus Christ can't be the most important thing in my life. He has to be my whole life. And this apostolate is based on the four persons that we shall love the Lord our God with. Say it after me. Your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and your whole strength.
And your whole strength,
You can't be half in on any of them. It's whole mind, whole heart, whole soul, whole strength. He wants 100%, 100%, 100%, 100%. And you better not be giving him 75 or 50. Because if you're giving him 75 or 50, you're mailing it in. Now, does that mean you're not going to stumble? Does that mean you're not going to fall? Terry, I stumble and fall every single day. Every single day, I don't measure up to what I want to be. All right? But you know Lou Holtz, the old coach of Notre Dame, the national championship coach of Notre Dame from the 1980s? One of my favorite expressions from him. People ask me how I'm doing. I say, well, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I need to be. But thank God I ain't where I used to be. And that's my motto. That's my motto in life, man. It's my motto.
Yeah, that's a good one. And again, like I said, good men do good things, right? So there was I needed to stay behind in case these folks need help. You know, good men do good things, right? And I used to take pride in being a bad man. You know, I used to take pride in it, you know. But now I glory in doing good things. You know, that's just what good men do. And, you know, like you were saying about, I mean, there's so much insanity going on in the world today, and if, you know, the all of the letters of the alphabet and the people trying to mutilate their body, and there's no way to hold an intelligent conversation with somebody who is that mentally deranged, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I can pray for the person, or if I can somehow show that person through my actions that God can make you a better person, then that's what I'm going to do. And if you know, those are extremities, you know, you can't really hold a reasonable conversation.
You know what's true nine times out of ten? What's true nine times out of ten with those people? You can't reach them on an intellectual level. The reason you can't reach them on an intellectual not only are they mentally deranged, but they're damaged. 90% of the time, they're damaged. They've been traumatized in their life in some way. They came from a broken family. They're lashing out at society. And you can't meet that hate with hate. You can't do it. You can't meet that hate with hate.
And another big thing, too, is like when you're ministering, man, it's got to be out of love, right? So there's no way to do it from an antagonistic point of view. Now, don't get me wrong, I will call out sin, and people will say, well, don't the Bible say not to judge? No, the Bible don't say not to judge. I don't know where you got that from. We got
Bible
a whole
says judge
list
rightly.
Of things. Yeah, we got a whole list of things that have already been judged, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
So I'm just repeating that list of things, you know.
Right. I can't judge your heart, and I can't judge your final destination. That's for God to judge. But you bet I'm going to judge your actions. You better believe I'm going to judge your actions, and I'm going to call sin what it is. Right?
Right.
You know, I heard a story years ago. I heard a story years ago about a woman who was a prostitute. And a Christian walked up to her and said, how much do you cost? How much would it cost? And the woman said, $100. The man said, no, that's not enough. And she said, okay, $200. He said, no, that's not enough. You're worth more than that. And she said, oh, really? Okay, $500. He said, no, you're worth more than that. And so finally she says, okay, Mister, what's your game? What are you trying to prove here? He says, your problem is that you don't understand how much you're worth. You don't understand how much you're worth. You're worth so much that the Son of God came here and suffered and died to redeem you. And all you have to do is accept him and follow him, and he will free you from this life of slavery that you're in. Your problem is not that you don't know that you think you're worth too much. No, your problem is that you think you're worth not enough. You don't value your real, and it is true. These people are selling out what they really want for what they think they want right now. And the devil is only too happy to move in and take over and to try to fill up with lust or greed or anger or revenge or avarice or power or any of these drugs, alcohol, sex, anything, any of these addictions that the devil deals out. He'll deal out because the person doesn't understand what they're truly worth. All right? And a Catholic understands, under my own effort, I ain't worth much. And, you know, even my own mother say, my own mother told me, well, you know, sometimes I feel so unworthy. I said, well, good. You should. You're unworthy. All of us are unworthy. I said, but Mom, I got good news for you. It's not about how worthy you are. It's about who he is. That's what it's about. And Terry, my worth is not my worthiness. My worth is not anything that I've accomplished or anything I've gained or anything that I've done. My worthiness is in the fact that I am his child. I am his son. I am made in his image and likeness. And he promised me that if I believe in, trust in, lean on him, the Greek word pisteos, to believe in, to trust in, to lean on, he promised me that if I believe in, trust in, and lean on him, he will save me. He will redeem me. And once you have that joy inside of you, the joy of that good news inside of you, you have to share it with everyone that you can share it with, right? Terry, you there?
Yeah, there we go. All right, I was on.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you hear me? All right.
Yeah,
so
I got you now.
Well, you're right, but I do want to point out that When you follow Christ, actions need to follow. Now,
of course,
yeah, and I I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying that for because, man, there's way too many Christians who, you know, like you know, they use the same almost the same words that you just used. Like, I'm not worthy, this and that. I just trust in Christ. And that's all fine and good, but then they leave it there, right? And your actions have got to prove what's inside your
right? That's why I made the distinction. Okay, there's two words in the Bible that talk about faith, that talk about belief. One of them is ascribed to the demons. James says even the demons believe, and they tremble.
Yeah.
Right? That's the Greek word pistis, pistis, which means to believe, to give a verbal and intellectual assent to faith. Well, even the demons do that. Even the demons called out, why have you come, Son of David? Have you come to torment us before the appointed time? The demons knew who he was. Make no mistake, the demons knew who he was, but their will did not follow. The word pisteos, which says he who believes in Christ will be saved, that's the Greek word pisteos. And the Greek word pisteos is a word that denotes action. It's a word that denotes to believe in, to trust in, to lean on. In other words, to give one's life to. So idea of Christ being Lord and Savior. Rather, some people want him to be Savior only. No. It's a two-for-one deal. He's got to be Lord.
Right. And that, so, like, when what Paul says in Scripture is, you know, on the day of judgment, your works will be judged. All of your actions, all of your deeds, right? And he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the Corinthian church. He said all of your deeds are going to be judged. He said, and for some of them, you will receive a crown. But if your works are built on, you know, precious stones and gold and this and that, if your works don't measure up, they will be burnt. You yourself will be saved, but you'll receive no reward for those deeds. And what he means is the deeds that you do for yourself, you know, for selfish or monetary gain, right? Those deeds will perish. But the deeds that you do for Jesus Christ, the deeds you do for God, the things that you do just because it's the right thing to do, those deeds are going. You're going to receive a reward, you know. And I don't know what can be more rewarding than heaven, but that is what the Scripture says.
Well, the issue is this. You know, some people say that it's faith alone. That's what saves us. Well, Paul said there's three virtues: faith, hope, and love. And Paul didn't say faith was the greatest of the three. What did he say was the greatest of the three?
Love
is the greatest of the three. All right? And the Bible tells us that love will cover a multitude of sins. Carrie, you and I are not going to get it right 100% of the time. Sorry. Ain't going to happen. We're going to misfire sometimes.
I get it right like 99.99, but yeah, you're right.
Well, I'll be honest. I think I get it right probably about 49% of the time.
Okay.
But
I'm just joking.
Yeah, I know. But we're going to misfire. But God judges the heart. God judges the heart. Where is your heart? Because Jesus says where a man's heart is, that's where his treasure is. Well, Jesus Christ is my treasure. He's my treasure. And if I know that I'm giving him my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole soul, and my whole strength, I believe, as Paul says, he will complete the work that he started in me. As long as I'm giving him my all, I'm giving him my sincere effort. Don't delude yourself and think you can nail it in, because you can't. But if you're giving your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and your whole strength, He will complete the work that he started in you. Amen?
Amen. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And that's what we're all striving for. I mean, and as Catholics, we get the extra benefit of being able to see a miracle physically manifest every Mass, you know. And I feel sometimes I feel so sad because, like, so many of my brothers and sisters don't realize how great it is when the bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You know, they don't click in their head, and it's, even the ones that were raised Catholic, and I have a hard time understanding that, you know.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, and that is the greatest of the miracles, but it's not the only one. I think about this. God gave to a man and a woman the power to create an immortal soul.
Right,
God gave to a man and woman the power to create a being that will live forever. Now, why God gave that kind of awesome power to a fool like me is hard for me to comprehend. You know, and I hear people, nothing makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck when I hear people say, well, you know, I just want what I deserve. I just want what I, listen, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying, because if you get what you deserve, the earth will open up underneath of you and you'll fall headlong into hell. Far be it from me to ever, ever get what I deserve. Lord, please keep it far from me to ever get what I deserve. You know, I rely on God's mercy, hoping to, allay his justice with his mercy. But there are people, like you said, that are sleepwalking. They're sleepwalking. They don't have the reverence for the body and blood and soul of Christ. They don't have the reverence for the sacrament of confession. Terry, we live in a lost and dark world. I mean, there's just no other way to, there's no way to whitewash it. So, you know, what you did with this, what you did in this situation with this storm, Terry, is one small candle in the darkness. You showed, because you said to those people, you know what? You have value. You have intrinsic value. I put it on the line for you, even though I don't know who you are. I put it on the line for you because I recognize that you have dignity because you were made in the image and likeness of Christ. And those are the kind of things that plant seeds, like you said.
Right. Yeah, and that's the main thing. Like, you know, even though, I mean, and I'm so thankful because, you know, I was praying that we didn't get hit too hard, and we didn't. So I'm very thankful for that. But I'm hoping that just me showing up at the doorstep and giving them my business card and letting them know that a complete stranger has said that, you know, and a white guy at that, because it's, you know, I'm like the only white person out here, you know, is knocking on the door and saying, hey, if y'all need any help, call, you know what I'm saying? You know, hopefully that'll get them to thinking and get them to thinking that about God, you know, to think that there are people who are moved enough to go out and risk their own self in order to help, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's like you said, when you look at what the martyrs did, it seems like a great sacrifice until you look at what they faced. I mean, these were, you know, sometimes 13 and 14-year-old kids. Some of these martyrs, like St. Cecilia, St. Philomena, they were 13 years old and flayed to death and beheaded and shot with arrows and burned it, burned and you know, brought before the lions, you know.
The great, so, you know, and we're talking kind of about, you know, courage at the same time, right? And don't get me wrong, because my buddy's listening in, and I don't, you know, I don't want to front. I was very scared during the storm, okay? But we're talking about courage, and that's the ability to have the fear and still face it and overcome it. And when you think about the saints, you think about the greatest saint, the Blessed Virgin Mary. I mean, just think about it. Well, she had to have been thinking. You know, the angel Gabriel tells her you're gonna have the Son of God. And you know, I mean, I wasn't there, and what I'm saying is not scriptural. But you got to think, like, you know, 14-year-old girl. She knows Jewish tradition. She knows that. If she has a child out of wedlock, that she could be stoned to death, you know.
Right.
And still, she says, "I behold the handmaid. I'm your handmaid. Whatever the Lord says, let it be done." You know.
Not only is she facing being stoned for adultery, but her only defense in front of the Sanhedrin is, "Okay, here's the deal. I'm pregnant, but I'm still a virgin, and I'm carrying God." that's her defense in front of the Sanhedrin. I don't imagine that would have played very well.
Right.
So
you know, and that's just
the courage,
you know,
and faith that she showed was mind-boggling.
Yeah, that took a lot of courage, man. That took a lot of courage. And and I think that's what we need today is you know, more courage, you know what I'm saying? More willingness to face scary situations in order to proclaim the kingdom of God. Because whenever the priest elevates the host after consecration, you know, I know it's not traditional. It's not what Catholics do. But what I do, when he elevates that host, I beat my chest and I bow my head and I say, "My Lord, my God, my Messiah, my King." You know, like you said, he's everything. And if I believe that he's the Son of God, then I believe that if I get killed in a storm or if I get, you know, murdered by somebody who just hates what I'm saying, I believe that I'm going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you the mansion that I got made up for you." You know what I'm
saying? So the devil has lost his sting.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? You know what I'm saying? For the sting of death is sin, and that's why I go to confession quite a bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So if I live, I'm going to torment the devil, and if I die, I'm going to torment him that much more because I'm going to become a saint. So he ain't going to win in this situation. Terry, we're down to the last 30 seconds here. Why don't you end us in a closing prayer?
I will. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, my Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Save us from the fires of hell and lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. I love you, brother, and it's an honor to call you my friend. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Wow, thanks, bro. I appreciate that, man.
God bless you, and next week we'll do the same thing all over again, right?
Sounds good.
God bless you. Have a great weekend, man.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.